welcome to Series 5, Episode 4 of In Suspense, a podcast and vodcast for fans and writers of crime fiction. I'm Leslie Cara and my co-host is Lauren North.
Hello.
Now, in our last episode, we chatted the delights and dangers of podcasting with Sean Coleman, Chris McDonald and Rob Parker, who together make up the fabulous Blood Brothers and their Blood Brothers podcast. So it was a bit of a mashup, wasn't it, Laurie? It was a bit of a sort of In Suspense Blood Brothers mashup, and we had such fun. And I think we could have probably gone on talking and laughing to those guys all night.
All night, because it was an evening one as well, which we normally record in the mornings, don't we? And so to do an evening one, I think it just added to the sort of fun feeling about it as well, didn't it? But I already had to edit it down quite a bit because it was so long. So I don't think we could probably have gone any further.
No, yes. I think it was over an hour, wasn't it? Which is, is longer than we normally do. But it was such fun. It was very, very good. So if our listeners or viewers haven't seen that one yet or listened to it, then do tune in because it's a giggle. It's a giggle. And yes, and I think we've also had our third mini-sode with author and clinical psychologist Philippa East. And so last week, she was talking about public speaking, how to deal with, you know, cope with public speaking and networking events.
Yes.
Which was really interesting. And we've had some really good feedback from those minisodes. People seem to like them a lot, don't they?
Yes, we have. And we were talking on a train when we were planning series six in the summer about whether we can do some different minisodes, weren't we? Which is exciting. So more on that soon.
Yes. And I've got something to tell you about that, Laurie. So we've got some developments. But
all secret. Top
secret for now. But yes, I think people are going to love our next session, our next series of minisodes.
Well, I'm sure they love them all.
Well, I'm sure they love them.
And we were on the train together, weren't we? Because we went to the inaugural Bay Tales Live One Day Crime Festival in Whitley Bay. Not Whitby, don't get confused. It was Whitley Bay, just next to Newcastle. And it was an absolutely fantastic event, wasn't it, Leslie?
Oh, it was so brilliant. It was so lovely to be doing live events again. That's what I thought. It was just wonderful. And it was a really well organised event. Simon Buick and Vic Watson of Bay Tales, they put on a really fabulous day. And also Anne Cleves was very much part of it, wasn't she?
She was very generous with her time.
Very, very
and
generous.
Her resources, yeah.
Yes. And I think she treated us all to a meal as well, didn't she?
She did, yes. And it was lovely. I think really nice way to end the event as well, wasn't it?
It was a lovely way to end.
Yeah. I think a lot goes into that planning of those sort of events. And I'm sure Simon and Vic are quite exhausted this week, but hopefully buzzing too, because there were 300 tickets sold, weren't there? Which, you know, the place felt busy. It felt like things were back to normal. It felt like there was a really great audience of really interested crime readers and writers who had some fascinating questions as well for all panels.
Yes, it was a great venue. It was at the Whitley Bay Playhouse, which was a wonderful venue. And of course, the bookshop, the local bookshop, which is called The Bound.
The Bound, yeah. They were really supportive.
They were there. And we went there on the Friday night as well to sign books and to meet various people. And Steph McGovern was there on the Friday evening. Steph McGovern from Steph's Packed Lunch on ITV. And she was really lovely because she was also introducing the event on the Saturday morning. And I never thought I'd be the sort of person who'd go up to a celebrity and fangirl and I'd say, can I have my picture taken with you?
I'm completely that person.
Turns out that I am that person. And she was lovely. Well, she is lovely. She's absolutely lovely person, really down to earth and friendly. And yeah, it was. We got our photo taken, didn't we? And had a nice long chat with Steph. And I also fangirled Louise Candlish as well, because I'd never actually met her. I saw her last year we both did, didn't we, at Harrogate, doing the wonderful In Conversation with Claire McIntosh. And we thought she
absolutely was. Yes, I was about to mention Louise and Sarah Vaughan, who are two, I think, of my idols, really, just wonderfully beautifully written books and doing so well in their careers. And so when I knew they were coming, I did have that kind of real imposter moment on the train about like, why am I going to this event when they're going to the event? And it was really lovely to meet them, and they're so down to earth and so generous and kind. So yeah, put me right at ease. And their panel was fantastic too.
I mean, I was amazed. I actually got through the day on Saturday because I was so tired, but adrenaline kicked in, because on the Friday night in my hotel, where we were both staying, on different floors, I think, weren't we? And I didn't sleep well at all. I never do sleep well before events, but this was even worse because there were people shouting in the bar downstairs and hollering at 3 o'clock in the morning. Oh. So at one point, and we were the very last panel, weren't we? Our panel was called Keeping the Home Fires Burning. It was brilliant. Vic did a brilliant job of moderating and we really enjoyed it. But I did think at one point, oh, I'm just not going to make it. I'm so tired. I was just dead on my feet, really.
Oh, you did well.
Somehow adrenaline kicks in and I got second wind and off I went. And it was fabulous, wasn't it?
It was a wonderful event. And I was doing page proof, so I didn't get much reading done over the weekend. What about you? What have you been reading recently?
What have I been reading? Well, I've been sent The Beaten Track by Louise Mangus.
Yes, so I've got that.
I'm going to be starting that today. Oh, yes. So looking forward to starting that. We got a proof, didn't we, in our the goodie bag at Baytail. Yes,
have you tried the gin in that goodie bag? I'm going to be buying that. It was delicious.
There was fabulous gin and tonic water, and there was beer, and there was pale ale, and there was books and a lovely a coaster. Where have I put my coaster?
Oh, yes. I know, isn't it beautiful? I've got it.
It's really, really lovely little coaster.
Yeah, it's really pretty. I've got mine somewhere as well.
Got it by my bed. So it was very good. And one of the proofs was Jacqueline Roy. It's called The Gosling Girl. And it's published by Simon & Schuster. And that looks very good as well.
So. Yes, because you had that out on the train and I had a little nose. And I thought it sounded amazing as well, actually. Really fascinating. So I'm looking forward to reading.
You were very good. You were doing your proofs
while I'm still doing them.
Headphones in, listening to podcasts.
You were giggling away to the Blood Brothers podcast, weren't you?
I was listening to the Blood Brothers. Yes, so I was sort of laughing and you were trying to get on with your work
and sleeping. Doing some sleeping as well on the train. Yes, and then I started yesterday, It Ends at Midnight, I'm really already very gripped by. So that was a good one.
We've got some really exciting guests lined up. Yeah, so we planned, didn't we, our next series six? Amazing. And got all the guests sorted out. And we've been in the process of contacting them, haven't we, these last few days, just finalising recording dates and things. So that's very exciting.
Absolutely.
And of course, we were on a panel with, it was Vic Watson that was moderating, and we were on a panel with Nikki May of
Wahala, which I saw lots of people buying. It's a really fantastic book. And Nikki was supposed to be coming on the show today, but unfortunately couldn't make it. So we were just going to chat a bit about her book instead, weren't we?
No, it's a great book, isn't it? Three wonderful characters. And I think, do you want to read the blurb? Is there a blurb on
there? Yes, there probably is, actually, yes. A darkly comic and bitingly subversive take on love, race and family. Wahala will have you laughing, crying and gasping in horror. Boldly political about class, colorism and clothes, here is a truly inclusive tale that will speak to anyone who's ever cherished friendship in all its forms. So Wahala means trouble, doesn't it? Which was the best title for the book. And I really just love the three main characters. There are three very strong women. And the thing I thought Nikki did so well was to have those voices so well distinguished, and their personalities really jumped out on the page. So for me, that was a really engaging story.
Yes, I loved it because there's three main characters, Ronke,
Boo. Yes, I remember Boo so well.
And Ronke wants to find the perfect man, doesn't she, and settle down.
Yes.
And then you've got Boo. Boo is the one who's married, isn't she? She's got a husband and a daughter. Is that Boo? Yes.
Yeah.
And she, but she's tempted to have an affair.
Yeah.
You've got Simmy.
Simmy, who works in fashion.
And Simmy, now what was it about Simmy? Oh, that's right. Simmy's husband really wants a baby, but Simmy's not so keen. So although, you know, what I liked about it is that although Nikki is exploring what it's like to be mixed race and middle class in London and have straddling that sort of dual cultures, she's also tackling universal themes of womanhood, really. And
yeah, absolutely.
We were going to ask her all about that, but we'll ask her about that another
next time. She comes on.
Yeah. That will appeal to, well, not just women, it'll appeal to men as well, but it'll appeal to everybody, really, I think. It's
yeah, there's certainly something for everyone, and a great twist at the end as well.
Oh, so, yeah, great twist at the end. And lots of stuff about food, and I think that's what inspired her to write it, going on a long lunch with her mixed race Nigerian British friends. So that's
yes, fantastic.
It was good.
So yeah. We haven't got lots more to talk about, have we? But we didn't want to miss out on doing a show, and we really wanted to sort of talk about Baytales a bit, didn't we? And I just wanted to give a shout out to Michelle Houlihan, who is someone who listens to this show and always puts some lovely comments on YouTube. So thank you, Michelle. And she was supposed to be going as well to Baytales, but from Canada, but unfortunately couldn't make it. But Michelle, you were mentioned many times through lots of the authors chatting about you, and your support to all of us and the podcast is always so welcome. So thank you. And hopefully we will see you very soon at the next event.
Yes, I hope so too. Yes, it was. I mean, it was just so lovely to meet readers and the crime writing and crime readers, you know, crime fiction readers are a really wonderful, loyal bunch of people, and they love these festivals. And it was so nice to be able to, you know, to meet everybody.
And to connect with the readers as well, because I think it's been one of those things that's been through the pandemic where you have felt a bit at sea as an author, I think, without having that constant connection with regular events. So that for me was wonderful to sort of talk about my book and then have people come up afterwards and say, oh, I'd not heard of it and I've got it, and you know, that was really special. So it was a really great event. It did make me laugh at one point because I wasn't nervous about the event at all, because Vic's so lovely and I know you so well, as in I know Nikki. So I was thinking this is going to be a lovely panel, and Vic had already said she wanted to make it a conversation. So I was like, right, that's fine. I don't need to do any preparation. It will be absolutely fine. And then I sat down at the table and then you and Nikki both had like pages of notes. And I was like, I've even got a notebook with me or a pen. How awful is that as an author? I was like, it's okay, I'm just going to be winging it. So there was a moment then.
She's exaggerating, listeners. It weren't pages of notes. There were two pages. But do you know what? The only reason I took them in is because I had felt so tired that I thought I'm not going to make any coherent sense and I'm going to forget things. So I just had them there as sort of like an aid memoir.
No, and actually it's very useful, because one of the things we talked about, I think, over the weekend was how it's sometimes a bit challenging to remember some of the themes and even the character names of previous books, because Vic mentioned on the Friday night that she was going to ask me a question about One Step Behind. I was like, it's a blank. Yeah, so actually having like a little cheat sheet of each of your books, really useful. I'm definitely going to do that for any panel events in the future.
I think it is such a good idea, because, you know, and I was talking about The Rumour, I was talking about Who Did You Tell, about The Dare, and talking about the Apartment Upstairs. Oh, and funnily enough, titles, and because I, you know, talked about the change of title from This Girl, That Girl to The Apartment Upstairs. And the titles was kind of theme of the, over the day. Lots of panels mentioned title changes, didn't they? It was quite
Certainly more common than you think, isn't it?
Yes, definitely is. Yeah. So apart from gadding about up north, what else have you done this last week, and what are you planning to do next week, Lauren? Anything exciting?
Well, I'm just hopefully trying to finish my page proofs today, and then next week's half term for us, and we've got a slightly different week to most of the country, and so I'm actually hoping to have a little week off and do some reading. I've got lots of lovely books to read, and just have a bit of a week with the kids, really. But I'm also waiting on copy edits to arrive any day, so we will see. Then March, I am starting a new book, which I'm really excited about, because it's felt like for the last 3 months, all I've done is structural edits, copy edits, proofing, and I'm really, really excited to plan and write a new book in March. So, well, start, not write the whole thing.
Well, that sounds very exciting. Oh, well, this coming weekend, we had planned to go to Tunbridge Wells to visit my son and his, and my daughter-in-law, who is in the last sort of trimester of her pregnancy.
Oh, exciting.
But we've decided to put it back until the following weekend now, because the wind, there's meant to be lots of coast winds and gales.
Oh yeah, storm coming, isn't
it? And terrible weather. And I was also a little bit concerned because I just in case I've picked up anything COVID related, because you know the festival was kind of, it was kind of like being back to normal, wasn't it?
It was, which in some ways is lovely, but you still feel a bit wary, don't you?
Bit scary. So I'm sort of very mindful that if I am incubating anything, I don't want to take it to my pregnant daughter-in-law. So we just thought it's safer to put it back a week. So this weekend I'll probably be catching up on my writing, because we lost a couple of days writing, didn't we?
And then Monday as well was so tiring as well, wasn't it? Like you can't really get your head back in the game straight away at 9 o'clock on a Monday morning after a big weekend like that. So you're about to hit the second half of your book, aren't you? I think are you on the home straight, does it feel?
Well, that feels very hopeful to say I'm on the home straight. If my editor's listening and my agent, I'm on the home straight. When they're not listening, I'm fine. You know, I'm hurtling towards the midpoint and know what I've got to do. I've just got to buckle down and do it. So I'm hoping that by the end of February, I will be ready to sort of launch myself off into the second half of the book. So I feel a lot more positive about it. I mean, I've never felt negative about it, to be honest, but I just hit a bit of a wall.
Common that middle, that just before the middle. I think I normally about 30,000. I sort of start to wonder what on earth I'm doing. The first 20 feels like it's just the opening, and yeah, that's fine. And then it starts to feel a bit wobbly, doesn't it? I think it's very, very common that time, isn't it? To feel it like you want to stop.
So I guess that's kind of it. I mean, have we got anything?
Let's just talk about what's coming up. So next episode is the minisode, which is coping, recognizing and relieving stress.
Recognizing stress and how to relieve it.
That's it. Well done. And the following week, we are interviewing Kate Mildenhall, who wrote a fantastic dystopian style thriller, which I can't show my copy of because I lent it to the very lovely Nikki Smith author, who is going to be my co-host.
I'm having a week off. I'm having a spa day and I'm going up to London to have various lunches and meetings and things. So, yeah, I'm having a podcast break next week.
That's lovely. That's
really going to be a brilliant co-host.
She's going to be amazing. I'm really looking forward to it. We've got some really great questions coming up for Kate, so that's one to look forward to. But so we'll see each other again in a couple of weeks, won't we?
We will indeed. Yes, absolutely. Can't wait. So enjoy the rest of your week, Lauren, and see you soon.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Everybody.